Despite some scary moments, the drive goes much quicker than I thought it would, and before I know it, my mother's house looms before me. I pull into her neatly shoveled driveway, and after three knocks, she finally opens the door wearing a robe, her hair wet. I can count the times in my life that I've seen her without her hair and makeup done on one hand.
"What are you doing here? Why didn't you call?"
she fires off, as unfriendly as ever. I step inside. "I don't know. I was driving through the snow and didn't want to be distracted."
"You still should have called so I could have been ready."
"You don't need to be ready. It's only me." She huffs.
"There's never an excuse to look like a slob, Tessa,"
she says with a tone as if she's telling me about my current state. I almost laugh at her ridiculous comment, but I decide against it.
"Where are your bags?"
she asks. "In my car. I'll get them later."
"What is that? That dress you're wearing?"
Her eyes scan my body, and I smile. "It's for work. I really like it."
"It's way too revealing."
"But the color is nice, I suppose."
"Thanks.
So how are the Porters?" I ask. I know bringing up Noah's family will distract her.
"They're great. They miss seeing you."
As she goes into the kitchen, she says casually over her shoulder, "Maybe we should invite them over for dinner tonight." I cringe and scurry after her. "Oh, I don't think that's a good idea." She looks at me, then pours herself a cup of coffee.
"Why not?"
"I don't know. It would be awkward for me."
"Teresa, you have known the Porters for years. I would love for them to see you now that you have an internship as well as going to college."
"So you basically want me to show off?" The thought annoys me. She only wants to have them over so she can have another thing to brag about.
"No, I want to show them the things that you've accomplished. It's not showing off," she snaps.
"I really would rather not."
"Well, Teresa, this is my house, and if I want to invite them, I will. I'm going to finish getting myself presentable, and then I'll be back."
And with a dramatic turn, she leaves me in the kitchen alone. I roll my eyes and walk back to my old bedroom. Tired, I lie down on the bed and wait for my mother to finish her extensive beautification rituals.
"Teresa?"
My mother's voice wakes me up. I don't even remember falling asleep. I lift my face up from where it was resting on Buddha, my ancient stuffed elephant, and say a disoriented, "Coming." I drowsily get to my feet and wobble down the hall. When I reach the living room, Noah is sitting on the couch. Not the entire Porter clan, as my mother had threatened, but this does wake me up.
"Look who stopped by while you were napping," my mother says, smiling her fakest smile.
"Hey," I reply, but I'm really thinking, I knew I shouldn't have come here. Noah waves a slight hand at me.
"Hey, Tessa, you look great."
Of course, I have no problem with Noah at all. I care for him deeply, like a family member, but I need a break from everything going on in my life, and him being here only adds to my guilt and pain. I know it isn't his fault, and it's not fair for me to be short with him, especially when he's been so kind throughout our whole breakup. My mother leaves the room, and I pull my shoes off and sit down on the couch opposite Noah.
"How's your break going?"
he asks. "Good. Yours?"
"Same. Your mom said you went to Seattle?"
"Yeah, it was great. I went with my boss and some coworkers." He nods excitedly.
"That's awesome, Tessa. I'm happy for you. You're really doing the publishing thing."
"Thank you," I smile. This isn't as awkward as I thought it would be. After a moment, he looks down the hall to where my mother disappeared, then leans in close.
"Hey, so your mom has been so tense since Saturday. I mean, more than usual. How are you doing with all of this?"
I scrunch up my brows. "What do you mean?"
"The whole thing with your dad?"
he says slowly, like I know what he's talking about.
"What?
My dad?"
"She didn't tell you?"
He looks down the empty hall.
"Oh, don't tell her I told."
Before he can finish, I'm on my feet and storming down the hallway to her room.
"Mother?"
What the hell about my dad? I haven't seen or heard from him in 8 years. The way Noah was acting kind of solemn. Did he die? I don't know how I'd feel about that.
"What about dad?"
I raise my voice as I burst into her room. Her eyes go wide, but she composes herself quickly.
"Well?"
I shout. She rolls her eyes.
"Tessa, you need to lower your voice. It is nothing. Nothing that you need to worry about.
That's not for you to decide. Tell me what's going on. Is he dead?
Dead? Oh, no. I would tell you if he was, she says, and drops a hand as if to poo-poo me.
Then what is it?
She sighs and looks at me for a second.
He's moved back. Not too far from where you are now, but he won't be contacting you, so don't you worry about it. I took care of it.
What does that even mean? I don't have enough space in my head for all of this crap with Hardin, and now my absentee father is moving back to Washington. Now that I think about it, I didn't know he moved away in the first place. I only knew he wasn't around me.
It doesn't mean anything. I was going to tell you when I called you Friday night, but since you couldn't be bothered to pick up the phone, I handled it myself.
I was too drunk to answer that night. Thank goodness I didn't. I could have never handled this wasted. I can barely handle it now.
He isn't going to bother you, so wipe that sad look off of your face and get ready. We're going to do some shopping, she says, too indifferently.
I don't really want to go shopping, Mother. This is sort of a big deal to me, you know.
No, it isn't, she says, full of annoyance and venom. He hasn't been around for years. He still won't be around now. Nothing has changed.
She disappears into her closet, and I realize there's no use arguing with her. I walk back to the living room, grab my phone, and put my shoes on.
Where are you guys going?
Noah asks. Who knows, I say, and walk out into the chill air. I wasted all this time coming here, 2 hours of driving in the snow, just to have her be a complete witch. No, bitch. She's a complete bitch. I wipe the snow off my windshield with my arm, a terrible idea since it only freezes me further. Climbing inside the car, I clench my rattling teeth as I start the engine and wait for it to heat up somewhat. As I drive, I scream, repeatedly calling my mother every foul name I can think of. When I've exhausted my voice, I try to figure out what to do next, but memories of my father flood my mind and I can't concentrate on anything. Tears soaking my cheeks, I grab my phone off the passenger seat. In a few seconds, Hardin's voice booms through the small speaker.
Tess, are you okay?
Yeah, I start, but my voice betrays me and I choke on a sob.
What happened? What did she do?
She... Can I come back? I ask, and he lets out a deep breath.
Of course you can, baby. Tessa.
He corrects himself, but I find myself wishing he hadn't.
How far are you?
He asks.
20 minutes, I cry.
Okay. Do you want me to stay on the phone?
No, it's snowing, I explain, and hang up. I shouldn't have left in the first place. It's ironic that I'm running to Hardin despite everything he has done. Far too long later, when I pull into the parking lot, I'm still crying. I wipe my face the best I can, but my makeup streaks and dirties my face. When I step out into the snow, I see Hardin standing by the door, covered in snow. Without thinking, I run over and wrap my arms around him. He steps back, obviously thrown off by my affection, but then he wraps his arms around me and lets me cry into his snow-covered sweatshirt.
Chapter 28. Hardin. Holding her for the first time in what seems like a lifetime is better than I could even begin to describe. Physical relief floods through me when she runs into my arms. I never expected this to happen. She's been so distant, so cold lately. I don't blame her, but fuck if it hasn't hurt. Are you okay? I ask into her hair. She nods her head up and down against my chest, but continues to cry. I know she isn't okay. Her mother probably said some shit to her that she shouldn't have. I knew this would happen, and honestly, the greedy part of me is glad for whatever she did. Not because she hurt Tessa, but because it meant my girl ran to me for comfort. Let's go inside, I say. She nods but doesn't let go of me. So I force myself to release my arms from her and walk us both inside. Her beautiful face is marked with black streaks, and her eyes and lips are swollen. I hope she didn't cry the whole drive. As soon as we step into the lobby, I pull out the scarf I brought down and wrap it around her head and ears, making a soft purple bundle around her beautiful face. She must be cold only wearing that dress. That dress. I would normally go into an extended fantasy about peeling the thin fabric off her, but not today. Not while she's like this. She lets out the cutest hiccup and pulls the scarf over her head. Her blonde hair sticks up out of the side in a big knot, making her look even younger than usual. Do you want to talk about it? I take the small chance to ask her when we step off the elevator and walk down to our... the apartment. She nods and I unlock the door. My mum is sitting on the couch, and worry spreads across her face as she takes in Tessa's appearance. I shoot her a warning glare, hoping she'll remember the promise she made to not bombard Tessa with questions about her return. Mum tears her eyes from Tessa and looks at the television, feigning indifference. We're going to go into the room for a little while, I announce, and my mum nods. I know it's driving her crazy, not being able to talk, but I won't have her making Tessa feel any worse by prying. As we go, I pause at the thermostat in the hallway to turn the heat up, since I know she's freezing. When I step into the room, Tessa's already sitting on the edge of the bed. Unsure of how close I'm allowed to get, I wait for her to say something.
Harden,
she says in a weak voice. The hoarse tone of her voice tells me she had been crying the whole drive, and it makes me feel worse for her. I go stand in front of her, and she surprises me again by grabbing hold of my t-shirt and pulling me to stand between her legs. This is more than her mum saying some rude shit. Tess, what did she do? I ask as she starts crying again, smearing her makeup on the bottom of my white shirt. I could give a shit about the mess. If anything, it will give me a reminder of her when she leaves again.
My dad,
she croaks, and I go rigid. Your dad? If he was there.
Tessa, was he there? Did he do something to you?
I ask her through my teeth. She shakes her head no, and I reach down to lift her chin up, forcing her to look at me. She's never quiet, even when upset. That's usually when she's the most vocal.
He moved back here, but I didn't even know he left. I mean, I guess I did, but I never thought about it. I never thought about him.
My voice is not as calm as I mean for it to be when I ask, Did you talk to him today?
No, she did, though. She said he isn't going to come near me. But I don't want her making that choice for me.
You want to see him? All of the things she has told me about this man have been negative. He was violent, often smacking her mum around in front of her. Why would she want to see him?
No, well, I don't know. But I want to be the one to decide.
She dabs at her eyes with the back of her hand.
Not that he would even want to see me.
The instinct to hunt this man down and make sure he doesn't come near her takes over, and I have to talk myself down before I do something stupid and brash.
I can't help but think, what if he's like your dad?
What do you mean?
What if he's different now? What if he doesn't drink anymore?
The hope in her voice breaks my heart. Well, what's left of it? I don't know. That usually doesn't happen, I tell her honestly. I see the way her mouth turns down at the ends, so I continue. But it could. Maybe he's different now. I don't believe it. But who am I to extinguish her hope? I didn't know you had any interest in him.
I don't. Well, I didn't. I'm just angry because my mother kept it from me,
she says, and then, between bouts of wiping her nose and face against my shirt, she tells me the rest of what happened. Tessa's mother is the only woman who would reveal the return of her alcoholic ex-husband and then promptly mention going shopping. I keep my mouth shut about Noah being there, even though it pisses me off. That kid just won't seem to go away. Finally, she looks up at me, a bit calmer. She seems much better than she was when she ran to me in the parking lot, and I would like to think that's because she's here with me.
It's okay that I'm here, right?
She asks.
Yeah, of course. You can stay as long as you need to. It is your apartment, after all.
I try to smile, and surprisingly, she returns the gesture before wiping her nose on my shirt again.
I should have a dorm room next week.
I nod. If I speak, I'll end up pathetically begging her not to leave me again.
Chapter 29. Tessa. I walk to the bathroom to remove the makeup from my face and pull myself together. The warm water washes away all evidence of my eventful morning, and I'm actually glad to be back here. Despite everything that Harden and I have been through, I'm glad to know that I still have a safe place to land with him. He is the only constant in my life. I remember him saying that to me once. I wonder if he meant it then. Even if he didn't, I believe that he feels that way now. I just wish he would tell me more about how he feels. Seeing him break down yesterday was the most emotion that I've seen out of him since we met. I just want to hear the words behind the tears. I go back into the bedroom to find Harden setting my bags down on the floor.
I went down and got your stuff,
he informs me. Thank you. I really hope I'm not intruding, I tell him, and bend down to grab some sweats and a t-shirt. I have to get out of this dress.
I want you here. You know that, don't you?
He says quietly. I shrug and he frowns.
You should know that by now, Tess.
I do. It's just that your mother is here, and here I am bringing all this drama and crying, I explain.
My mom is glad that you're here, and so am I.
My chest swells, but I change the subject. Do you guys have anything planned today?
I think she wanted to go to the mall or something, but we can go tomorrow.
You can go. I can keep myself entertained. I don't want him to cancel plans with his mother when he hasn't seen her in over a year.
No, it's fine, really. You don't need to be alone.
I'm fine.
Tessa, what did I just say?
He growls, and I look up at him. He seems to have forgotten that he doesn't get to decide things for me anymore. No one does. He softens and corrects himself.
Sorry. You stay here. I'll go shopping with her.
Much better, I say, and try to fight my smile. Harden has been so gentle, so afraid the last few days. Even if he was wrong to push me, it was kind of nice to see he's still himself. I go into the closet to change my clothes, and just as I lift the dress over my head, he taps on the door.
Tess?
Yes, I say. After a beat, he asks,
You'll be here when we get back?
I snort. Yeah. It's not like I have anywhere else to go.
Okay. If you need anything, call me,
he says. The sadness in his voice is clear. A few minutes later, I hear the front door close and I emerge from the bedroom. I probably should have gone with them so I wouldn't be here alone with my thoughts. I already feel lonely. After watching television for an hour, I am beyond bored. Periodically, my phone buzzes and my mother's name flashes on screen. I ignore her entirely and wish Harden would come back already. I grab my e-reader and start to read to pass the time, but I can't stop looking at the clock. I want to text Harden and see how much longer they'll be, but instead I decide to make dinner to pass the time. I go into the kitchen to decide what to make, something that takes a while but is easy. Lasagna it is, then. Soon it's 8, then 8:30, and by 9 I'm already thinking again that I'll text him. What the hell is wrong with me? One fight with my mother and suddenly I'm back to clinging to Harden. If I'm honest with myself, I know that I never truly stopped clinging to him. Even though I don't really want to admit it, I know that I'm not ready for a life without Harden. I'm not going to jump into anything wholesale with him, but I'm exhausted from battling myself all the time over him. As terrible as he has been to me, I'm even more miserable without him than I was when I found out about the entire bet. Part of me is irritated at myself for my lack of strength, but another part can't deny how resolved I felt when I came back today. I still need a little time to think, to see how everything goes with us being around one another. I'm still so confused. 9:15. It's only 9:15 when I finish setting the table and cleaning up the mess I made in the kitchen. I'll text him, just once, a simple, hey, how's it going, just to check on him. It's snowing, so I'm only texting him to check on him, you know, for safety reasons. Just as I pick up my phone, the front door opens. I set my phone down covertly as Hardin and his mom enter. So how was shopping? I ask him at the exact time that he says,
You made dinner?
You first, we both say, and laugh. I hold up one hand and inform him and Trish, I made dinner. If you already ate, that's fine too. It smells so good in here, his mother says as she surveys the table full of food. Immediately, she drops her bags and drops into a seat at the table. Thank you, Tessa dear. That mall was dreadful. All the last-minute Christmas shoppers filled the place. Who waits until 2 days before Christmas to get their gifts?
You?
Hardin answers and pours himself a glass of water. Oh, hush, she scolds, and picks off the end of a breadstick to pop into her mouth. Hardin sits down next to his mother, and I take the chair across from her. Over dinner, Trish talks about the shopping horrors they experienced and how a man was tackled by security guards for trying to steal a dress from Macy's. Hardin swears that the dress was for the man himself, but Trish rolls her eyes and continues with the outlandish tale. I realize that the meal I prepared is actually quite good, better than usual, and almost the entire pan of lasagna is gone by the time the three of us finish. I had 2 servings myself. That's the last time I'll go all day without eating. Oh, we bought a tree, his mom says suddenly. Just a small one, but you 2 have to have a tree in your place, especially your first Christmas together. She claps her hands and I laugh. Even before everything fell apart, Hardin and I had never talked about getting a Christmas tree. I had been so distracted by moving in and just by Hardin in general that I nearly forgot about the holidays altogether. Neither of us had taken any interest in Thanksgiving, him for obvious reasons, and me because I didn't want to spend it at my mother's church, so we ordered pizza and hung out in my dorm room. That's okay, right? Trish asks, making me realize I haven't responded. Oh yeah, of course it is, I tell her, and look at Hardin, who is just staring at his empty plate. Trish takes over the conversation again, and I'm grateful. After a few more minutes, she announces, Well, as much as I'd love to stay awake with you party animals, I must get my beauty sleep. Thanking me again and putting her plate into the sink, she bids us goodnight before leaning down to kiss Hardin on his cheek. He groans and moves away, so her lips barely brush his skin, but she seems pleased with the small amount of contact. She wraps her arms around my shoulders, placing a kiss on the top of my head. Hardin rolls his eyes and I kick him under the table. After she disappears, I stand up and put away the few remaining leftovers.
Thanks for making dinner. You didn't have to, Hardin tells me,
and I nod before we both head into the bedroom. I can sleep on the floor tonight since you did last night, I offer, even though I know he wouldn't actually let me sleep on the floor.
No, it's fine. It's actually not so bad, he says.
I sit on the bed and Hardin takes the blankets from the closet and lays them on the floor. I toss him 2 pillows and he gives me a small smile before unbuttoning his jeans. Oh, I definitely should look away. I don't exactly want to, but I know that I should. He pulls his black jeans down and steps out of them. The way his muscles move on his tattooed stomach as he bends down has me unable to look away, reminding me just how attracted I am to him, despite my anger. His black boxers cling to his skin, and his head snaps up to look at me. His face, hard and concentrated on mine, only feeds my trance. His jawline is so sharp, so intriguing. He's still staring. Sorry, I say, and jerk my head to the side, my cheeks flaring in humiliation.
No, I'm sorry. Just a habit, I guess.
He shrugs and pulls a pair of cotton pants from the dresser. I keep my eyes on the wall until he says,
Good night, Tess,
and flicks the light off. I can practically hear the smirk in his tone. I'm awoken by a sharp sound and stare at the ceiling. I can barely see the blades of the fan moving through the darkness. Then I hear it again, Hardin's voice.
No, please,
he whimpers. Shit, he's having one of his nightmares. I jump out of bed and kneel down beside his thrashing body.
No,
he repeats, much louder this time. Harden? Harden, wake up, I say into his ear, and shake his shoulders. His shirt is soaked with sweat, and his face is twisted as he opens his eyes, sitting up immediately.
Tess.
He breathes and pulls me into his arms. I rub my fingers through his hair before bringing my hand down to his back. I gently run my hands up and down his back, my nails barely grazing his skin. It's okay, I tell him over and over again, and he hugs me tighter. Come on, let's go to bed, I say, and stand up. Holding onto my t-shirt, he climbs into the bed with me. Are you okay? I ask him when he lies down. He nods and I pull him closer to me.
Do you think you could get me some water?
He asks. Of course, I'll be right back. I turn on the lamp before climbing back out of the bed, then try to keep as quiet as possible so as not to wake Trish. But when I get to the kitchen, she's already there.
Is he okay?
She asks. Yeah, he's okay now. I'm just getting him some water, I say to her, and fill up a glass in the sink. When I turn back around, she pulls me into a hug and kisses my cheek. Can we talk tomorrow? She asks. Suddenly, I'm too nervous to speak, so I just nod, which makes her smile, though she sniffles as I walk off. Back in our room, Harden looks slightly relieved when I return and thanks me as he takes the water from my hand. He gulps down the entire glass while I watch him and join him back on the bed. I can see how uneasy he is, likely from the nightmare, but I know part of it is because of me. Come here, I tell him, and see the relief in his eyes as he scoots his body toward mine and I wrap my arms around him and put my head on his chest. It feels just as comforting to me as I imagine it does to him. Despite everything he has done, I feel like home in this flawed boy's arms.
Don't let me go, Tess,
he whispers and closes his eyes. Chapter 30. Tessa. I wake up sweating. Harden's head is on my stomach and his arms are in a bear hug around me. Surely his arms must be numb from my body weight. His legs are intertwined with mine and he's snoring lightly. Taking a deep breath, I carefully lift my hand to brush his luscious hair from his forehead. I feel like I haven't touched his hair in so long, but in reality it's only been since Saturday. My mind replays the events in Seattle like a movie as I run my fingers through his soft mess of hair. His eyes flutter open, and I jerk my hand away quickly. Sorry, I say, embarrassed to be caught in the act.
No, it felt good,
he says, his voice thick from sleep. After gathering himself and breathing against my skin for a moment, he lifts himself up from me, too soon, and I wish I hadn't touched his hair so he would still be asleep, holding me.
I have some work to do today, so I'll be going into town for a little while,
he says, and grabs a pair of black jeans from the closet. He grabs his boots and slips them on quickly. I get the feeling that he's rushing out of here. Okay. What? I thought he'd be happy that we slept together and that we held each other for the first time in a week. I thought something would have changed. Not completely, but I thought maybe he could see that my resolve was wearing down, that I was a few steps closer to reconciling with him than I was yesterday.
Yeah,
he says, and twists his eyebrow ring between two fingers before pulling the white t-shirt over his head and grabbing a black one from the dresser. He doesn't say anything before he exits the room, leaving me confused once again. Of all the things I expected to happen, him running out like this wasn't one of them. What work could he possibly have to do right now? He reads manuscripts the same as I do, only he has much more freedom to work from home. So why would he want to do it today? The memory of what Harden was doing the last time he had to work makes my stomach turn. I hear him talking to his mother briefly before the front door opens and closes. I plop back onto the pillows and kick my feet in a childish manner. But hearing the siren song of caffeine, I finally climb out of bed and pad out into the kitchen to make some coffee. Good morning, sweetie, Trish chirps as I pass where she sits at the counter. Good morning. Thank you for making coffee, I say, and grab the freshly brewed pot. Harden said he had some work to do, she says, though it really sounds like she's asking, not telling. Yeah, he said something about that, I reply, unsure what else to say. But she seems to ignore that and says,
I'm glad he's okay after last night.
Her voice full of worry.
Yeah, me too.
Then without thinking, I add, I shouldn't have made him sleep on the floor. Her brows knit together in question.
He doesn't have the nightmares when he isn't on the floor?
She asks carefully.
No, he doesn't have them if we...
I trail off, stirring the sugar into my coffee and trying to think of a way to talk myself out of this.
If you're there, she finishes for me.
Yeah, if I'm there. She gives me a hopeful look that, so I'm told, only a mother can give when talking about her children.
Do you want to know why he has them? I know he'll hate me for telling you, but I think you should know.
Oh, please, Mrs. Daniels, I swallow. I don't really want to hear her tell me that story. He told me about that night. I swallow when her eyes widen in surprise.
He told you?
She gasps. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just say it that way, and the other night I thought you knew. I apologize and take another drink of coffee.
No, no, don't apologize. I just can't believe he told you. Obviously you knew about the nightmares, but this is astounding.
She dabs her eyes with her fingers and smiles a smile straight from the heart. I hope it's okay. I'm so sorry for what happened. I don't want to intrude on their family secrets, but I also have never had to deal with anything like this before.
It's more than okay, Tessa dear, she says and begins full on sobbing. I'm just so happy he has you. They were so bad. He would scream and scream. I tried to send him to therapy, but you know Harden. He wouldn't speak to them, at all. As in, not one word, he would just sit there and stare at the wall.
I set my mug down on the counter and wrap my arms around her.
I don't know what it was that made you come back yesterday, but I'm glad that you did, she says into my shoulder.
What? She pulls back and gives me a wry expression and dabs at her eyes.
Oh, honey, I'm old, but not that old. I knew something was going on between the two of you. I saw how surprised he was to see you when we arrived, and I could tell something was off when he said you weren't going to make it to England.
I had a feeling that she was on to us, but I didn't know how transparent we were to her. I take a big gulp of my now lukewarm coffee and consider this. Trish tenderly grabs onto my other arm.
He was so excited. Well, as excited as Harden gets, to bring you to England. And then a few days ago he said you were going out of town, but I knew better.
What happened? She asks. I take another drink and make eye contact with her.
Well, I don't know what to tell her because, oh, nothing, your son just took my virginity as part of a bet. Doesn't exactly feel helpful right now.
He lied to me, is all I say. I don't want her to be upset with Harden, and I don't really want to get into all of it with her, but I don't want to completely lie either.
A big lie?
A massive lie. She looks at me then like I'm a landmine.
Is he sorry?
Talking to Trish about this is strange. I don't even know her, and she's his mother, so she'll feel inclined to take his side no matter what. So I reply delicately,
Yeah, I think he is, and drain the rest of my coffee. Has he said that he is?
Yeah, a few times.
Has he shown it?
Sort of.
Has he?
I know he broke down the other day, and he's been calmer than usual, but he hasn't actually said what I want to hear. The older woman looks at me, and for a moment I really fear what her response is going to be. But then she surprises me by saying,
Well, as his mother, I have to put up with his antics. But you don't. If he wants you to forgive him, then he needs to work for it. He needs to show you that he'll never do anything like whatever it is that he did, and I figure it must have been a pretty big lie if he moved out. Try to keep in mind that emotion is not a place he goes to often. He's a very angry boy. Man, now.
I know the question sounds ridiculous. People lie all the time, but the words tumble out before my brain can process them. Would you forgive someone for lying to you?
Well, it would depend on the lie, and how sorry they were. I will say that when you allow yourself to believe too many lies, it's hard to find your way back to the truth.
Is she saying I shouldn't forgive him?
She taps her fingers on the counter lightly. However, I know my son, and I can see the change in him since the last time I saw him. He's changed the last few months. So much, Tessa. I can't even tell you how much. He laughs and smiles. He even engaged in conversation with me yesterday. Her smile is bright, despite the serious subject.
I know that if he lost you, he would go back to how he was before, but I don't want you to feel obligated to be with him because of that.
I don't. Feel obligated, I mean. I just don't know what to think. I wish I could explain the whole story to her so I could have her honest opinion. I wish my mother was as understanding as Trish seems to be.
Well, that's the hard part. You have to be the one to decide. Just take your time and make him work for it. Things come easily to my son. They always have. Maybe that's part of his problem. He always gets what he wants.
I laugh because that statement couldn't be more true. That he does. I sigh and go to the pantry and grab a box of cereal, but Trish interrupts my plan by saying, "How about you and me get dressed and go get some breakfast and do some girl things? I could use a haircut myself." She laughs and shakes her brown hair back and forth. Her sense of humor is nice, just like Harden's is when he allows it to show. He's more raunchy, yes, but I see where he gets his humor.
"Great, let me just take a shower first," I say, and put back the box.
"Shower? It's snowing outside and we'll be getting our hair washed anyway. I was just going to wear this."
She gestures to her black tracksuit. "Throw on some jeans or something and let's go." This is so different than if I was going anywhere with my mother. I would have to have ironed clothes, my hair curled, and makeup on, even if we were just going to the grocery store. I smile and say, "Okay." In the bedroom, I grab a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt from the closet, then pull my hair into a bun. Slipping on my Toms, I head to the bathroom and quickly brush my teeth and splash cold water on my face. When I join Trish in the living room, she's ready and waiting by the door. "I should leave Harden a note or text him," I say. But she smiles and pulls me toward the door.
"That lad will be fine."
After spending the rest of the morning and the majority of the afternoon with Trish, I feel much more relaxed. She is kind, funny, and great to talk to. She keeps the conversation light and has me laughing almost the entire time. We both get our hair done and Trish adds bangs, daring me to do the same, but I refuse with a smile. I do, however, let her talk me into buying a black dress for Christmas. I have no idea what I'm doing for Christmas, though. I don't want to intrude on Harden and his mother, and I haven't bought any presents or anything. I think I may take Landon up on the invitation to his house. It seems a little too much to spend Christmas with Harden when we're not together. We're in this alien in-between stage. We aren't together, but I'd been feeling like we were getting closer to each other until he left this morning. By the time we return to the apartment, Harden's car is in the lot, and I start to feel nervous. When we get up to the apartment, we find him sitting on the couch with papers spread out across his lap and the coffee table. He has a pen between his teeth and looks deep into whatever it is that he's doing. Working, I suspect, but I have only actually seen him work a few times in the months I've known him. "Hello, son," Trish says in a cheery voice.
"Hey,"
Harden responds flatly.
"Did you miss us?"
she teases, and he rolls his eyes before gathering up the loose pages and shoving them into a binder.
"I'll be in the bedroom,"
he huffs, and stands from the couch. I shrug at Trish, then follow Harden into our bedroom.
"Where do you guys go?"
he asks, and sets down his binder on the dresser. A page falls out, and he quickly shoves it back inside, closing the tab with a snap. I sit on the bed with my legs crossed. "To breakfast. Then we got haircuts and did some shopping."
"Oh."
"Where did you go?" I ask him. He looks down at the floor before answering.
"To work."
"Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. I'm not buying that," I say with a tone that tells me Trish must have worn off on me. His green eyes blaze at me.
"Well, I don't really care if you're not buying that,"
he says in a mocking tone and sits down on the opposite side of the bed. "What's your problem?" I snap.
"Nothing. I don't have a problem."
His walls are up. I can feel them guarding him. "Obviously you do. Why did you leave this morning?" He runs a hand through his hair.
"I already told you."
"Lying to me isn't going to help anything, That's what got you... us into this mess in the first place, I remind him.
Fine. You want to know where I was? I was at my dad's.
He shouts and stands up. Your dad's? Why?
Talking to Landon.
He sits down on the chair. I roll my eyes. I believed the work story more than this.
I was. Go on and call him if you don't believe me.
Okay. And what were you talking with Landon about?
You, of course.
What about me? I raise my hands in front of me.
Just everything. I know you don't want to be here.
He looks over at me. If I didn't want to be here, I wouldn't be.
You have nowhere else to go. I know you wouldn't be here if you did.
What makes you so sure? We slept in the bed together last night.
Yeah, and you know why. If I hadn't had a nightmare, you wouldn't have agreed to it. That's the only reason you did, and the only reason you're talking to me now. Because you feel sorry for me.
His hands are shaking and his eyes are piercing. I can see the shame behind the green. It doesn't matter why it happened. I shake my head at him. I don't know why he always jumps to these conclusions. Why is it so hard for him to accept that he is loved?
You feel sorry for poor Harden, who has nightmares and can't sleep in a fucking bed alone.
His voice is too loud, and we have company. Stop yelling! Your mom is in the other room, I yell back.
Is that what you two did all day? Talk about me? I don't need your fucking pity, Tess.
Oh my God, you are so frustrating. We did not talk about you, not in that way. And for the record, I do not feel sorry for you. I wanted you in that bed with me regardless of your dreams. I cross my arms.
Sure,
he barks. This isn't about how I feel. It's about how you feel about yourself. You need to stop feeling sorry for yourself, if anything, I say equally harshly.
I don't.
Seems like it. You just started a fight with me for no reason. We should be moving forward, not backward.
Moving forward?
His eyes meet mine. Yeah. I mean, maybe, I stutter.
Maybe?
He smiles. And he's so happy all of a sudden. He's grinning like a small child on Christmas. He was just fighting with me, his cheeks flushed in anger, and strangely, I feel most of my anger evaporating as well. The control that he holds over my emotions terrifies me. You are insane, literally, I tell him. He gives me a killer smirk.
Your hair looks nice.
You need to be medicated, I tease, and he laughs.
I wouldn't argue there,
he responds, and I can't help but laugh with him. Maybe I'm just as crazy as he is. Chapter 31. Tessa. Our moment together is interrupted when my phone vibrates and dances across the dresser. Harden grabs it for me, looks at the screen, and says,
Landon.
Taking the phone from him, I answer, Hello?
Hey, Tessa.
Landon says,
So my mom wanted me to call and see if you were coming over for Christmas?
His mom is so nice. And I bet she makes a great Christmas spread. Oh, yeah, I'd love to. What time should I be there? I reply.
Noon.
He laughs.
She's already started cooking, so if I were you, I wouldn't eat anything until then.
I'll start fasting now, I joke. Anything I should bring? I know Karen's a much better cook than me, but I could make something. Dessert, maybe?
Yeah, you can bring a dessert. And also, I know this is awkward, and if you aren't comfortable with it, then it's okay.
His voice lowers.
But they want to invite Harden and his mom. But if you and Harden aren't getting along...
We are. Sort of, I interrupt. Harden raises his brow at my reply, and I give him a nervous smile. Landon lets out a little breath.
Super. If you could just pass the invite along, they would really appreciate it.
I will, I assure him. And then something occurs to me. What should I get them gift-wise?
No, nothing. You don't have to bring gifts.
I keep my eyes on the wall and try not to focus on Harden's steady gaze on me. Okay, sure, but I'm bringing gifts, so what should it be? Landon sighs good-naturedly.
Stubborn as always. Well, my mom likes her kitchen, and Ken would go for a paperweight or something.
A paperweight? I snort. That's a dreadful gift. He laughs.
Well, don't get him a tie, because I did.
Then he groans.
Well, let me know if you need anything between now and then. I have to go help clean the house,
he says, and hangs up. When I put my phone down, Harden immediately asks,
"You are going there for Christmas?"
"Yeah. I don't want to go to my mother's," I say, "and sit on the bed."
"I don't blame you."
He rubs his chin with his index finger.
"You could stay here?"
I pick at my fingernails on my lap. "You could come with me."
"And leave my mom here alone?"
He scoffs. "No, of course not. Karen and your dad want her to come. Both of you." Harden looks at me like I'm crazy.
"Yeah, right. And why would my mom want to go there with my father and his new wife?"
I don't know, but it could be nice to have everyone together. Really, though, I'm not sure how exactly that would go, largely because I don't know what type of relationship Trish and Ken have now, if they have one at all. It's also not my place to try to bring everyone together. I'm not part of their family. Heck, I'm not even Harden's girlfriend.
"I don't think so."
He frowns. Despite everything going on between Harden and me, it would have been nice to spend Christmas with him, but I understand. It would have been hard enough to convince Harden to go to his father's house for the holiday anyway, let alone with his mother. Because part of my brain likes a problem to solve, I start thinking that I need to get gifts for Landon and his parents, maybe something for Trish as well. But what? I should go now, really. It's already 5, which only leaves a bit tonight and then tomorrow, Christmas Eve. I have no idea whether or not I should get something for Harden. Actually, I'm pretty sure I shouldn't. It would be awkward to give him a present when we're in this strange in-between place.
"What is it?"
Harden asks of my silence. I groan. "I have to go to the mall. This is what I get for being homeless on Christmas," I tell him.
"I don't think bad planning has anything to do with you being homeless,"
he teases. His smile is small, but his eyes are bright. Is he flirting with me? I laugh at the thought and roll my eyes. Bad planning is not something that I do, ever.
"Sure,"
he mocks, and I swat my hand at him. He grabs my wrist and wraps his fingers around it to stop my playful assault. A familiar warmth floods through my body, and I lock eyes with him. He lets go quickly, and we both look away. The air fills with tension, and I stand up to put my shoes back on.
"You're going now?"
he asks. "Yeah, the mall closes at 9, I remind him.
"You're going alone?"
He shuffles his feet awkwardly. "Would you like to come? I know this probably isn't the best idea, but if I want to at least try to move forward, then going to the mall together is fine, right?"
"Come shopping with you?"
"Yeah. If you don't want to, that's fine too," I say awkwardly.
"No, of course I do. I just wasn't expecting you to ask."
I nod, then grab my phone and purse. Harden close on my heels, I go out into the living room.
"We're going to the mall for a while,"
Harden tells his mom.
"Both of you?"
she asks knowingly, and he rolls his eyes. As we hit the door, she yells over her shoulder, "Tessa, dear, if you want to leave him there, I won't complain." I chuckle. "I'll keep that in mind," I say, and follow him out. When Harden's car starts, a very familiar piano melody fills the air. He hurries to turn the volume down, but it's too late. I give him a smug look.
"They grew on me, okay?"
he says. "Sure," I tease, and turn the song back up. If only things could go this way forever. If only this flirty getting along, this nervous middle ground that we are in could last forever. But it won't. It can't. We have to actually discuss what has happened and what will happen from here on out. I know we have so much to talk about, but we aren't going to solve this problem all at once, even if I force the issue. I want to find the right time and take it slow until then. Most of the drive is spent in silence, the music saying all of the things I wish we could say to each other. When we near the Macy's entrance, Harden says,
"I'll drop you off by the door,"
and I nod. I stand under the vent to warm up while he parks and hurries through the cold to me. After nearly an hour of looking at baking dishes of all shapes and sizes, I decide to get Karen a set of cake pans. I know she probably has more than enough, but cooking and gardening seem to be her only hobbies, and I don't have time to think of anything better. "Can we take this to the car and then finish shopping?" I ask Harden, and struggle to keep the large box in my hands.
"Here, I'll take it. Stay here,"
he says, and takes the box from me. As soon as he walks away, I walk over to the men's section, where hundreds of ties in large cases mockingly remind me of Landon's claim about them as an easy gift. I keep browsing, but I've never bought a dad gift before, so I have no idea what to get.
It's so fucking cold out,
Harden says when he returns, shivering and rubbing his hands together. Well, maybe wearing a t-shirt in the snow isn't a good idea. He rolls his eyes.
I'm hungry. Are you?
We make our way to the food court, where Harden finds me a seat while he gets us some pizza from the only decent chain there. Minutes later, he joins me at the table with two plates piled full. I grab a slice and a napkin and take a small bite.
How elegant of you,
he teases when I wipe my mouth after I chew. Shut up, I say, and take another.
This is nice, isn't it?
He asks. What, the pizza? I innocently ask back, even though I know he isn't talking about the food.
Us, hanging out. It's been a long time.
It does seem like so long. It hasn't even been 2 weeks, I remind him.
That's a long time. For us.
Yeah. I take a bigger bite so I can keep silent a little longer.
How long have you been thinking about moving forward?
He asks. I slowly finish chewing and take a long drink of my water. A few days, I guess. I want to keep this conversation as light as I can in order to avoid causing a scene, but I do add, there's still so much to talk about.
I know there is, but I'm so...
His green eyes go wide as he focuses on something behind me. When I turn around, my stomach drops at the sight of red hair. Steph. And next to her, her boyfriend, Tristan. I want to go, I tell him, and stand up, leaving the tray of food on the table.
Tessa, you haven't gotten any other gifts. Besides, I don't think they even saw us.
When I turn back around, Steph's eyes meet mine, and the surprise on her face is evident. I can't tell if she's more surprised to see me or that I'm with Harden. Probably both. Yeah, she did. The pair walk over to us, and I feel like my feet are bolted to the floor.
Hey,
Tristan says uncomfortably when they reach us.
Hey,
Harden says, and rubs the back of his neck. I don't say anything. I look at Steph, then grab my purse from the table and begin to walk away. Tessa, wait, she calls after me. The thick heels of her shoes smack against the hard tile as she hurries to catch up with me. Can we talk? Talk about what, Steph? I snap. How my first and basically only friend here let me be humiliated in front of everyone? Harden and Tristan look at each other, obviously unsure whether to intervene. Steph throws out her hands. I'm sorry, okay? I know I should have told you. I thought he would tell you. So that's supposed to make it okay, then? No, I know it won't. But I'm really sorry, Tessa. I know I should have told you. But you didn't. I cross my arms. I miss you. I miss hanging out with you, she says. I'm sure you do miss having me as the focus of all your jokes. It wasn't like that, Tessa. You are... were my friend. I know I fucked up, but I really am sorry. Her apology catches me off guard, but I recover and say, well, I can't forgive you. She frowns, and then her expression turns angry.
But you can forgive him? He's the one who started it all, and you forgave him. How fucked up is that?
I want to snap at her, cuss her out even, but I know she's right. I haven't forgiven him, I'm just... I don't know what I'm doing, I whine, and put my hands over my face. Steph sighs. Tessa, I don't expect you to just let it go like that, but at least give me a chance. We could hang out, just the four of us. The group is all fucked up anyway. I look up at her. What do you mean?
Well, Jace has been an even bigger dick since Harden beat the shit out of him, so Tristan and I have been keeping our distance from everyone.
I look over to where Harden and Tristan are watching us, and then look back at Steph. Harden beat up Jace?
Yeah, last Saturday.
She scrunches her brows.
He didn't say anything?
No. I want to hear as much as I can before Harden walks over and stops her from spilling, but she's eager to be on my good side, so she starts without my even having to ask.
Yeah, well, it's because Molly told Harden that Jace planned the whole... you know,
she adds quietly,
telling you in front of everyone.
But then she laughs a little.
Honestly, he had it coming. and the look on Molly's face when Hardin basically pushed her off of him was priceless. I mean, seriously, I should have taken a picture.
I'm pondering the fact that Hardin turned down Molly and beat up Jace that Saturday before he came to Seattle when I hear Tristan say,
"Ladies?"
Almost as if in warning that Hardin's near. Hardin joins me and takes my hand, and as Tristan starts to pull Steph away, she stays facing me for a moment and says with wide eyes,
"Tessa, just think about it, okay? I miss you."
Chapter 32. Tessa.
"You okay?"
Hardin asks when they disappear. "Yeah, I'm fine," I tell him.
"What did she say?"
"Nothing. Just that she wants me to forgive her." I shrug and we head off down the main throughway. I need to process everything that Steph just told me before I bring it up to Hardin. He must have been at one of their parties before he came to Seattle, and Molly must have been there. I can't deny it's a massive relief to hear Steph's take on things. It's almost funny that he had told me he slept with Molly that same night he was actually rejecting her. Almost. The relief and irony are quickly overshadowed by my guilt over kissing that stranger at the club while Hardin was pushing away Molly.
"Tess?"
Hardin stops walking and waves his hand in front of my face.
"What's going on?"
"Nothing. I was just thinking about what to get your dad." I'm a bad liar, and my voice gets more rushed than I'd like. "Does he like sports?" "He does, right? You two were watching that football game, remember?" Hardin eyes me for a moment, then says,
"The Packers. He likes the Packers."
I'm positive that he wants to ask more about Steph, but he stays quiet. We go to a sporting goods store, and I stay fairly quiet as well, and Hardin chooses a few things for his father. He refuses to let me pay, so I grab a keychain off the display case near the register and pay for it myself just to annoy him. He rolls his eyes and I stick my tongue out at him.
"You do know that you grabbed the wrong team, right?"
he says when we exit the store. "What?" I reach in and grab the small object.
"That's the Giants, not the Packers."
He smirks and I shove the keychain back into the bag. "Well, good thing no one will know the good gifts are actually from you."
"Are we done yet?"
he whines. "No, I have to get something for Landon, remember?"
"Oh yeah. He mentioned that he wanted to try a new shade of lipstick. Maybe coral?"
I put my hands on my hips and face him. "You leave him alone. And maybe I should be getting you the lipstick since you seem to know the exact shade," I tease. It feels good to be bickering with Hardin in a playful way instead of a let's burn the house down way. He rolls his eyes, but I see a small smile appear before he speaks.
"You should just get him hockey tickets. Easy and not too expensive."
"That's actually a good idea."
"I know,"
he says.
"Too bad he doesn't have any friends to go with him."
I would go with him. The way Hardin is teasing about Landon makes me smile because it is so different than before. There is no malice behind his tone now. "I wanted to get your mom something too," I tell him. He gives me a funny little harmless look.
"Why?"
"Because it's Christmas."
"Just get her a sweater or something,"
he says, and gestures at a store meant more for old ladies. Eyeing it, I say, "I'm terrible at buying gifts for people. What did you get her?" The present he got me for my birthday was so perfect that I imagine the gift he chose for his mother must be equally thoughtful. He shrugs.
"A bracelet and a scarf."
"A bracelet?" I ask and pull him farther down the mall.
"No, I meant a necklace anyway. It's just a plain necklace that says Mom or some shit."
"How nice of you," I say as we walk back into Macy's. I look around, feeling confident. I think I can find her something here. She likes those tracksuits.
"Oh God, please, no more tracksuits. She wears them every day."
I smile at his sour expression. So, all the more reason to buy her another one. As we look at several racks with various options, Hardin reaches out and feels the sheer fabric on one. I get a good look at his knuckles and the scabs on them, bringing me back to the information Steph revealed. I pretty quickly find a mint green tracksuit that I'm sensing she'll like, and we wander off to find the register. En route, a sort of resolve takes over my frantic thoughts about Hardin, partly because I now know he wasn't actually sleeping with Molly while I was in Seattle. As we get to the register and place the outfit on the counter, I suddenly turn to Hardin and say, We need to talk tonight. The cashier looks back and forth between Harden and me, confusion evident in her eyes. I want to tell her it's rude to stare, but Harden speaks before I get the courage.
Talk?
Yeah, I say, and watch the cashier remove the security tag. After we put that tree up that your mom got when you two went out yesterday.
Talk about what, though?
I turn to look at him. Everything, I say. Harden looks terrified, and the implications of that word hang heavy in the air. When the cashier scans the tracksuit's tag, a beep breaks the silence, and Harden mumbles,
Oh, I'll go get the car.
As I watch the woman bag Trisha's gift, I think, next year I'll make sure to get everyone amazing gifts to make up for my terrible gifts this year. But then I think, next year? Who says there'll be a next year with him? Both of us stay silent during the ride back to the apartment. Me, because I'm trying to organize my thoughts about everything